Welcome to the Wahoo Central Podcast, which comes to you every week from the McHugh Center at the University of Virginia. I'm Jeff White from virginiasports.com. This is a special occasion because Brian Boland is back here in the studio with me for the first time in more than a year. Brian, of course, is the head coach of the UVA men's tennis team, which last spring won the NCAA title for the second time in 3 years. Welcome back.
Thanks. It's great to be here. I appreciate it.
This is season 15 for you at Virginia. Your kid's out of college yet?
No, but I do have a 15-year-old, and my son Bryce turned 14 today.
Good. Happy birthday,
Tom. Yeah, thank you.
Your team opens its spring season on Sunday with two matches indoors at the Boar's Head Sports Club, the first against Kentucky at noon, the second against Eastern Kentucky at 5 p.m. How do you feel going into another season?
Well, I'm as excited as ever. The team has really come together once again. We have a big advantage that it's a veteran team.
Right.
They're all back from last year's NCAA championship. We added one new player that's going to redshirt for us by the name of Ashwin Leiser from the Isle of Man, actually. And he's a nice addition to the program, but he's not going to – we're going to sit him for a year and then move forward with the players that we have. So I feel very fortunate to kind of pick up where we left off last season. I thought we had a team that really played for one another. Not any one person was bigger than the team, and the culture was great, and they're really a close-knit group who make each other better every single day.
You've had a number of players in the program over your career who have been major four-year contributors, you know, from their first year all the way until they graduate. Most recently, Mitchell Frank. Is it strange as a coach the first time you get together with your new team and you look out and see that Mitchell's gone, Somdev is gone, somebody like that who's just been there every day for you, literally for 4 years?
Well, they're never gone, that's for sure. Somdev's back tonight. and Mitchell I talk to pretty regularly, almost on a daily basis. He's been looking forward and anticipating his pro career from a very young age, and unfortunately he's been dealing with some injuries over the last 6 months, so he's hoping to get on tour here in the next month. But yeah, you miss him, but you're excited for him. You know, Mitchell, like I said, had spent countless hours and times preparing for what he's about to undertake, which is play professional tennis. He's obviously somebody who really set the tone every day as a leader with his work ethic and his resilience and toughness. It's really hard to ever replace someone like Mitchell, but I think the players learned so much from him, you know, the way that he prepared and the attention to detail and the passion for the game and his willingness to suffer, you know, come to practice. And, you know, not everybody wants to be there every day. But it's the days when you least want to be there that you still find a way to get the most out of it because you're playing for something bigger than yourself. And Mitchell had so much pride in wearing the orange and blue. And I know that he'll be proud of the time he spent here for the rest of his life. He will always be part of the University of Virginia, as is Somdev, who has a house here and is a great friend and is returning tonight. So I look forward to seeing him. And I'm so proud of our alums. You know, Trett Huey was on TV last night in Australia in the mixed doubles semifinals trying to win a slam. And they made the quarters. And Dom made a great run in Australia. So just so proud of what those guys are doing.
As you mentioned, this is essentially the same team.
Yeah.
As last year, minus Mitchell, I mean, he was a great player here. How do you make up for the loss of him as a player? Were there guys last season who could have easily had bigger roles on the team or bigger roles on other teams and just kind of had to wait their turn?
Well, that's what makes this program special, is that you have players like Henrik Orsholm from Seattle who came in and was willing to just focus on his development and play when given an opportunity. And talk about a young man that is developed over the course of the last year. And I think that time has been imperative to his readiness to play this year. I mean, his last tournament this fall, he won a professional event in Florida, winning, I think, 9 straight matches through qualifying to win a futures event, which, you know, very few college players end up winning money in a futures event. And so he's going to have a big impact for us this year. And the players on the team will replace Mitchell just simply in terms of them getting better mm-hmm. and stepping up. I mean, most of them, as you know, can play higher than they do. But at the same time, the great thing about it is the unselfishness of the team. They're willing to do whatever it takes for us to have the success collectively as a group. And I'm just blessed. This is my 20th year as a head coach, and I'm loving every minute of it.
Well, tennis as its core is an individual sport. You know, when they go on to professional, they're playing individually. What's been your secret to getting players to buy into a team concept, and a guy who could play number one singles at another school maybe place three here or four? Mm-hmm. Swallow their ego a little bit,
yeah,
don't they?
Yeah. Well, if you want to be the best, I think you want to be around the best and play with the best day in and day out. And, you know, 85% of the time you're practicing. And some of our practices are, without question, some of the best matches you'll ever see. So they're constantly making each other better. If you look back in the early 80s when tennis was at its best in America with, you know, Connors and McEnroe and Chang and Agassi and Courier, those guys really made each other better, Pete Sampras mm-hmm. and so on. Those guys really pushed each other collectively to be better. We have a young group right now in the United States. I think that the same thing is happening in terms of them kind of being able to work together, yet they're in an individual sport by kind of allowing it to be a cooperative competition in a sense. So for us, I think it's been a big positive. And we've had players, I think, four different times not start and get to number one in the country. Ryan Chain was not a starter his first year, was not a consistent starter, didn't play in the NCAA championship right. team match in 2013, and then wins the NCAA national singles championship last year. So I don't think that there's any doubt that he would have been able to do that unless he took this pathway. Now, is it for everyone? No, but I really do believe that these guys realize the importance in their development to have one another. And then, of course, the University of Virginia. I mean, it's a special place, and I've said it from the day I arrived. It has the best of all worlds, socially, academically, athletically, the environment, the culture, the resources, the support, the people. To me, it's the best in the world.
You're in an elite group here at the university. You're one of four active coaches at UVA who have won at least two NCAA titles, along with Dom Starzha, Kevin Sauer, George Galnovach. You were in your 12th year at Virginia when you won the first time, then you got your second 2 years later. For the other three, very similar script unfolded. Dom won his first in 99, his second 2 years later. Kevin won his first in 2010, his second 2 years later. George won in 2009, and then in 2014. I think you said when we talked about it that the first time you won, there was almost as much relief yeah. as joy because you'd been chasing it so long. Is it easier? I don't know if that's the right word, but to get the second one, once you've got the first one kind of out of the way and you break through?
I'd like to say no, but no matter how many times you tell the players, look, let's focus on today and making ourselves the best we can be. Collectively and individually, it's tough to ever allow them to completely forget the weight of history.
And you called it the burden of history. Yeah. I went back and saw it.
And I just, you know, I used to talk to the guys all the time and try to convince them otherwise, but you could feel the weight. Those years that we came so close and came up short, you know, I feel for a guy like Steve Swanson yeah. in women's soccer. It's going to come. He's one of the best, if not the best coach in the country. I have so much respect for the process that he the process he goes through and how he approaches his job, and he's such a professional, and it will come. You know, it's just all you can do is give yourself a chance as a team, and you know it's going to take a little luck to hit the target, and when you do, I do think the weight of history comes off and it gets a little bit easier. The guys are a little freer.
Was the off season this time around any less maybe crazy than the first time after you won? Do you still get as many calls, as many speaking offers, all the things that come with, you know, winning the first time?
Yeah, and it's something you have to balance out because the focus needs to be on the job at hand, making the players better, continuing to try to find ways to make the program better. And, you know, I can remember when we were undefeated in 2013, I spent a lot of time evaluating how can we get better. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the only way to stay at the top. I think it's one thing to get to the top of the game. It's even harder to stay there, and I think that's why so few people do it. And you got to keep your weight on the pedal, and you got to keep finding ways to get better. And so that's what we've tried to do as a staff and as a team. And you know, we had a great summer as a team. These guys work so hard, and this is the latest we've ever started in late January as a team. Mm-hmm. Because I have so much trust in the players to be self-motivated to go out and work hard and play the tournaments on their own. So really, they had the freedom to go and to play the futures around the country, and they all did it. And they're just self-motivated, and that's a good place to be as a coach. You know, you're out there and you're able to coach because you're not spending all your time trying to manage these guys or making sure that they're willing to work hard. They just come ready to work, and you get a chance to do your job.
Technically, I guess NCAA tennis is a spring sport, but everybody plays in the fall. Hmm. What is your approach to what do you want your players to accomplish in the fall? Is it more about individual in the fall than team, because you're not playing the dual matches?
Yeah, it's different. I mean, we certainly try to make sure that we spend a little bit more time on the individual development, maybe take some approaches to their games that we may not take quite as big of a risk in the spring as we move closer mm-hmm. to the NCAA championships. But we try to look at it as a maybe an 8 or 9 month process before we start getting into the middle of April, where we just kind of go into cruise control. We really want to make sure that every day is an opportunity to develop individually and collectively. So it's somewhat the same approach. The only difference is that we're a little bit more spread out in the fall because we're playing different schedules based on what each player needs. But in terms of the approach of improving, developing, attending to the details of their games, not really. I think we tend to maybe back off on that sometime in the middle of April mm-hmm. and then play the postseason and let it roll. Hopefully we're playing our best at that point and peaking.
Your winning streak in ACC competition is 139 straight matches. I don't even know when that began. It was the Eisenhower administration, I think. But what's the ACC look like this year? Will you be challenged?
We will be challenged. We've been challenged all 10 of those years in this streak. And in the most humble sense, I'm amazed by it because we have so much respect for the league. It's without question one of the most competitive conferences of the country, and the depth is incredible. In fact, it wasn't too many years back where a team that finished 10th in the league, NC State, made the quarters of the NCAA. So the strength of the conference is remarkable. The players have just done a really good job focusing day in and day out holding up that intensity, focus, attention to detail, and hunger year after year, day after day, match after match. And so it's a tribute to the players, both past and present, for being able to have a streak like that. But at the end of the day, that certainly can't be a focus. But in terms of the ACC, the competition is as strong as ever. Duke, North Carolina, mm-hmm. Wake Forest, my former assistant, Tony Bresky, has done a phenomenal job. In fact, we played them in the final two of the last 3 years, and he probably has his best team yet. So should be interesting.
Tell me about your coaching staff, if you will. And do you delegate more as a coach now than maybe you did when you first got started?
No question. And I have become much better at that, to say the least. I mean, I think that's really important in terms of your growth as a leader. And of course, the opportunities that I have now are far surpassed what I had when I came here 15 years ago in terms of the resources and so on. So Dustin Taylor, my first assistant, is just, to me, one of the best, if not the best coach in the country. He's worked with almost all of the top 100 American players. He's been coaching on the tour for years. This is his second year at Virginia. Obviously, he got off to a good start as his first year as an assistant, winning the NCAA championship and an ACC title. But his attention to detail, his understanding and knowledge of the game, his ability to relate to the players is just phenomenal. And he's, like I said, he's worked with top 25 players in the world and on the ATP Tour, and he's traveled for years and years, and he's spent time at the professional development level with the USTA and had so many great experiences. So we're so blessed to have him and his family. Jenny and the kids are great. In fact, they live four doors down. That was the only crazy thing they did. They decided to move into Redfields next to Becky and I, which has been really fun. And then Philippe Oshorn, who played for me, who was always such a special player because he really was one of these guys that really had anything he gained, he earned from a lot of hard work and patience and persistence. And he went through a lot of ups and downs in his career. He played some in and out of the lineup. He became a team captain his fourth year. The respect that I have for Philippe is as much as any player that's ever played for me. Even though he wasn't Samdev Devarman in terms of wins and losses, what he did for our program then and his commitment to coaching and developing as a coach and playing his role and staying in his lane right now is phenomenal. It's hard to replace Scott Brown, who spent 5 years here in that position. We love Scott and we miss him. But a little change and a different voice is always good, particularly with someone like Philippe, who has really experienced everything there is to experience in a program because he played so many different roles in his 4 years. His ability to relate to the players and his presentation and confidence on the court, and the players have tremendous respect for him, and he still hits a heck of a ball.
Your lineup includes two players who won national singles titles in 2015. Ryan Shane won the NCAA championship. Tyson won the ITA All-American Singles Championship, and then he and Mac teamed up to win the doubles title. Do you see kind of a noticeable difference in confidence in players after they win on that stage?
Well, you know, it's something they have to make sure that they you know, I think the key to success all the time is when you have that kind of success like Ryan, that you go with what got you there. You continue to chip away and take one step at a time. I think sometimes when players have success, they want to then change things and look for things that really gets away from what got them there. And I think Ryan, Ty, Mac, even Colin, who won a junior national championship, and others who've had so much success, have really learned to manage that success and stay humble and continue to work on their identity on the court and to make sure that they're taking care of business off the court, so the things that they are able to do on the court, they're very focused and disciplined. I'm really proud of the way that the team and the program has managed success. Success, to me, is harder in many ways to manage and deal with sometimes than failure.
You play March 10th at Tulsa, which, not coincidentally, is where the NCAA, or the final five rounds of the NCAA team tournament, then the individual tournaments will be held. You like to do that, right? Whenever possible.
Love it.
Get out there and see the court, even if you can't get outdoors.
We've done it twice. We did it in 2013. And we did it in 2015.
So, all right.
So you could probably say I like it.
Closer to home, you'll be hosting the ITA National Team Indoor Championships February 12th through 15th at the Boar's Head. Virginia has won this tournament five of the past eight seasons. I mean, this is still a big deal for the program, isn't it?
Well, it's just what an honor to host. I mean, this is one of the most electric, exciting venues to experience college tennis in the country. Playing the national indoors in Charlottesville, Virginia. I think if you look back in history and you talk to some of our players who went through the program, they would say that the chills they have inside the Boar's Head, even walking in and those memories of playing in the national indoors, is special. I mean, it's packed. People are excited. You know, it's one of the few times as a coach that I couldn't hear myself speak because it was so loud and exciting. And so I think all the players from all the teams that have played in the national indoors here, win or lose, love it. They love to be in Charlottesville because of the event that the Boar's Head Sports Club and the University of Virginia work together to put on, and it is fantastic. We are so honored to host it, and we can hardly wait. But first things first, we got to play Kentucky on Sunday.
At Eastern. Let's switch sports before I let you go. You and Tony Bennett are close. What's your professional assessment of his team's play so far? And what I know you don't hesitate to offer him advice.
You know, I've taken it easy on him a little bit lately because I know, you know, they've had some close ones. But Tony is someone that obviously I have a tremendous amount of respect and admiration for and have learned an awful lot from. And I think vice versa in terms of his willingness to – he's such a humble guy, as we all know. But at the same time, we're pretty good at taking some jabs at each other. I feel like the games are a little bit too close right now. So I've offered to come in and kind of help with some fundamentals that they need to step up on. But, you know, I think that it's a little bit too tight for my liking right now, so I think that he'll have to pick it up. But honestly, you know, it's Tony, you know, regardless of the adversity that they face, they're always going to be there in the end. And one of the things he said recently, which resonates so much with me, and I've spoken a lot to my team about it, is that discipline leads to freedom. And as his team goes through the season, you know that they're going to continue to master the discipline so then they can trust and have the freedom to do the job that they need to. And you know, I think we're always learning from each other mm-hmm. as coaches, and that's across the board. I mean, there's so many great coaches at the University of Virginia. Every time I walk into a coach's meeting, I'm floored at the success of the coaching staff. And what makes it even more special is how well everyone works together and really does hope for success amongst one another.
Well, great. Well, best of luck Sunday and throughout the season, and hopefully it won't be another full year before you're back in that that recliner over there.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate the time.
In addition to men's tennis in Charlottesville this weekend, there's women's tennis at the Boar's Head on Friday afternoon and wrestling against Virginia Tech at Mem Gym on Sunday. Call up virginiasports.com, and you'll find schedules and information on all 25 of our teams. As always, thanks for listening, and I'll be back next week with another Wahoo Central podcast.